Welcome to Get Connected, KDNK's monthly public affairs show about the people and organizations that make up the giving and service community from Aspen to Parachute. I'm Amy Barr, your host. I serve as the executive director of United Way Battlement to the Bells, and this program is an opportunity to share my insights and connections with local nonprofits. Now, each month I interview different charities, hear from dedicated volunteers, talk to the donors that support charitable work, and tell you about ways you can volunteer. This month's show features Andrea Palm Porter of Roaring Fork Leadership, whose enthusiastic class of 2017 is in full swing. We'll also talk with Jenny Lindsay from the Family Resource Center of the Roaring Fork School District, whose offices are right down the block from the KDNK studios. And as always, we'll offer up-to-the-minute announcements about volunteer opportunities and nonprofit events and charitable needs here in our area. Let's begin today's program discussing Roaring Fork Leadership with Executive Director Andrea Palm Porter. Now, this organization is known by local businesses, individuals, and civic and community organizations as a center of excellence. Roaring Fork Leadership focuses on developing effective and invested local leaders, building community integration and professional connections through personal relationships, and engaging citizens in solving local social issues. So, Andrea, I guess you've been around with Roaring Fork Leadership. Maybe you haven't, but Roaring Fork Leadership has been around, what, nearly three decades. Is that right?
Yes, Amy. You know, we've been around for 29 years. We're so excited to have our 29th program year in session right now that started in August. They're on a journey for 10 months that'll complete in May of 2017.
Your class of 2017. And how many people are in that class?
I have 38 participants this year.
38. And as I understand it, is this right? Everybody comes together once a month at Roaring Fork Leadership?
Correct. We have 9 different sessions that meets monthly. And basically, the curriculum is set up quite concise, but yet magically that each of the program's content builds off of the previous program's content. So it really builds as the year goes through, and the applicants get to apply these skills through the civic projects that they have as well.
You had gone out, and I saw it in the papers, I've heard it everywhere, that you were looking for that big class of 2017 master project or the civic project. So
yeah.
Can you say yet what it is, or are you still going through all of the applications?
Well, we're still going through the applications. So what happens is with these 38 people in the program, we divide them into 6 civic project teams within the 38 of the full group. And they get to select a civic project to work on that's a real, call it community change initiative. So right now we're doing that call out into the community to have those applications for civic project ideas submitted to us that gives the class participants options to pick a project to apply their leadership skills they're learning.
So, Andrea, give us some ideas of what some of the projects have been in the past over these 29 years.
Yeah, just this last year we worked with Windwalkers. They, as you know, are an equestrian
yes.
center that works with people with, call it PSD, autism, sort of different ranges of
veterans I know go there.
What they asked of us was to literally help develop and grow their organization in an extent of adding a sensory trail, which they knew would enhance the capabilities that they're able to do and even provide services to people with different abilities that come up and use their services. So a team literally went out, helped design, develop, and implement stations along a sensory trail for them.
For the horses, right? And the riders?
Correct.
Oh, and... Yep. I just have to brag because Windwalkers also is a partner agency of United Way. So I'm thrilled to hear that one. Plus, who doesn't love horses? So there you go. Well, I was looking on the website of Roaring Fork Leadership, and I also noticed the Mastermind program. Can you tell the listeners here and myself a little bit about the Mastermind program? What's that all about?
Yeah. So mostly what we've been known about, as I talked about, is our core Roaring Fork Leadership program that's been around for what is our now 29th program year. So over time, our alumni and the community has asked, what else exists? Like, where are you going from here? Or we want refreshers. We want another type of, call it 2.0 type program. So what we developed was this Mastermind program. But this one is not only just for our alumni, and this is is the first time I'm sharing this, is that this is open to the public. We are allowing anybody and everybody to apply. We will only take 15 people to get into this program. It's going to kick off in January, so we're accepting applications right now, which is right on our website under programs. And what a mastermind groups is, it's like you get your own personal board of directors. If you have goals and you want to share best practices, you're going to have a group of people that are going to hold you accountable, and they're going to help you get through it. And sharing, I mean, sharing is so important in how we grow as humans. I mean, if you think about it, we're pack animals, and we want to hear other people's experiences and learn from those experiences and take the best pieces and apply it. But yet we're going to have a facilitator. Her name is Nancy Fredericks. She's worked with Fortune 500 companies. She lives right here in our valley, and she is a huge asset to be able to take this group and cohesively bring in certain topics that the group defines for themselves and what they want. So it kind of morphs based on the 15 people that would be part of the group.
So it's almost like a combination of what we would call a leads group plus a coach in this Nancy Fredericks. Wow, what a great asset here in the Valley.
Yeah, so if anybody's ever dabbled in wanting coaching, or in a sense has been coached and are ready to kind of go back off on their own, this would be a great, great stepping stone to get involved in a group like this. Again, it's called the Masterminds.
Then what's the difference between that and the Mastering Performance Program? You have all sorts of programs.
We've got a lot of mastery happening here at RFL. So Mastering Performance is a program we have coming up that takes both our 38 people in the program, as well as we invite people to come in from the community. So we bring in a speaker, Jonathan Clark, who is... he's studied a lot on the science of ontology, which is basically the way of being, how we behave, how we got to be the way we are. And the program itself literally works with individuals and organizations as it relates to living in a higher performance aspect of who you want to be, where you want to go, how you're going to get there.
So not just for an individual, but maybe for an entire organization.
Oh, yeah. I've had full departments come from organizations up and down the valley into this program.
And how long have you had that program, Andrea?
Mastering Performance has been part of the curriculum for, I'd say, just about 10 years. It started when Chafin and Light actually had Jonathan Clark come into our community prior to RFL, and that's how RFL got connected with them and made it part of our curriculum. It was so impactful to the whole organization of Chafin and Light.
To that real estate agency.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. And right now, Jonathan Clark works with Panera Bread Company.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to sign up for this program outside of what we offer through RFL, it would cost you over $1,500, and you can sign up individually for $395 for 3 days coming up October 6th, 7th, and 8th in Glenwood Springs at the Glenwood Springs Community Center.
And we're also going to post that on our Get Connected site so people can just study it a little more. What about the other speaker series programming? Because I always said, oh, Roaring Fork Leadership, they put the class through, they're done. And when I looked at your website, my eyes kind of popped. I'm like, really? You have all of this going on?
Yeah.
So what's happening in your speaker series?
So what we've really been known for is our core program, that 10-month program as Roaring Fork Leadership. Our parent name is Roaring Fork Center for Community Leadership, which is where all these other programs come into play. So we do have a speaker series, and that's programming we put on that's open to the public, like we just talked about mastering performance. You know, we're all about developing leaders in our community, and we know it's not just with this 10-month program. It can be other ways. So speaker series, we have Mastering Performance coming up in January. We bring in Chase McMillan, whose father founded the company Vital Smarts and wrote these books, Crucial Accountability, Crucial Conversations, Influencer. And Chase is coming over and doing a day that's open to the community as well, called Crucial Conversations and Crucial Accountability. So we're excited to have him. And then Greg Cortopassi, who's been a faculty of Roaring Fork Leadership for 24 years.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. He will come in May and do a program on transferring fear, because you know how that somehow it gets us stuck, or we don't go beyond where we're comfortable. And this would definitely be that conversation of how to be unstuck and, in a sense, transforming fear into something that works for you.
Do you have a date on that?
Yeah, that one's May 4th.
Okay. So, gee, I can plan my whole calendar through almost up to next summer.
Yes.
Well, I know you talked about this group where anyone can come in for some leadership training. But what if someone came to you and said, I need specific training? What would you do?
We've been getting a lot of phone calls on that recently, and we have been going out and providing customized training. So people call saying, hey, I have this concern in my organization, or I really need some inspiration, motivation behind my staff. We want to get better at communication. We want to figure out some time management tools. And I've been able to help build those curriculums. And if it's not anybody within even myself that can provide the trainings, or alumni or a faculty of our connections, we're happy to point the person in the right direction. So we even do training on emotional intelligence.
That became famous when the emotional intelligence book, I remember reading it. It must have been about a dozen years ago.
Yeah.
Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Sure. So emotional intelligence is basically, I think in layman's term, it's how we get along with other people, which in a sense is really relative to our success in the world, and especially in the workplace. It is so foundational to kind of how we get and relate to people. So I can, I've been certified, I've been doing this for over 4 years now. I can provide an assessment so you can kind of see where you rank on these different 15 subcomposites of our emotional intelligence, such as problem solving, decision making, self-regard, our emotional expression, how we have impulse control, stress tolerance, all these different aspects. And you can kind of gauge where you're at. And what the really cool thing about this kind of assessment is you can develop your emotional intelligence. You can actually put goals behind it and practices that can adapt or create more consciousness around your behavior so that, in a sense, your interpersonal relationships and how you get along with other people can really be affected to an increased success rate.
Well, thank you so much for coming to KDNK today.
Thank you, Amy.
You're listening to Get Connected. I'm your host, Amy Barr. Up next, United Way board member Richard Golding. Richard will offer a selection of the latest community volunteer opportunities and nonprofit events posted on our Get Connected pages at unitedwaybb.org.
Welcome to Get Connected, a way to link volunteers and donors with the organizations that need them. I'm Richard Golding, principal engineer at Roaring Fork Engineering and a United Way Battlement of Bells board member. If you're looking for an opportunity to volunteer and want the project that fits your interest, go to unitedwaybb.org and sign up for free Get Connected link on the right-hand side of the United Way homepage. Check the boxes for the types of volunteer activities that interest you. When your interests match the needs of a nonprofit organization, you will be instantly linked and contacted by that organization to see if you want to volunteer, or you can simply follow your favorite charity. United Way does not use or share your contact information. To find volunteer opportunities and upcoming nonprofit events, you can visit unitedwaybb.org. On the goal bar at the top of the homepage, you can simply click on the Get Involved link to find a list of volunteer opportunities and the events calendar. Here are some new timely opportunities to get connected with volunteer needs and events in our listing area. The annual Blessing of the Animals will be held on Saturday morning, October 8th, up at the Colorado Animal Rescue Shelter, also known to locals as CARE, located across from the CMC Spring Valley campus. The annual event celebrates pets, service animals, and our human connection to the web of life. This non-denominational blessing service is free to all humans and critters, but pet food donations for CARE shelter animals will be greatly appreciated. Directions to CARE and other event details are available on the United Way website. KDNK listeners can join social worker Megan Hurley for child abuse prevention classes on November 7th in Rifle. This free course will be offered by the Riverbridge Regional Center. Hurley is a longtime mental health therapist at Riverbridge, our local child advocacy center. The 10 tips every parent should know to protect your child from sexual abuse course can help parents increase their comfort and knowledge in speaking to children about sexual abuse and body safety. This interactive workshop is geared to help empower adults with effective strategies to communicate with children on this difficult topic. You can go to our Get Connected page for time and location details and click on the link to sign up to attend. There is no off-scene at the Windwalkers Equine-Assisted Learning and Therapy Center up in Missouri Heights. The working horses need to be fed and cared for every day of the year. Open 6 days a week, Windwalkers offers private or group lessons in therapeutic riding, hippotherapy, equine-assisted counseling, all-inclusive riding camps for veterans, and more. KDNK listeners can help Windwalkers with a donation of cash, bridles, saddles, and other equipment, and especially horse feed. Remember, to find these and additional current volunteer opportunities and upcoming events, you can visit unitedwaybb.org. On the gold bar at the top of the homepage, you simply click on the Get Involved link to find a listing of volunteer opportunities and event calendar.
Thanks, Richard. My next guest is Jenny Lindsay, Executive Director of Family Resource Center of the Roaring Fork School District. By helping students and their families to access support for basic needs such as food, clothing, rent and utility assistance, dental, vision, medical and mental health, parenting and enrichment, the Family Resource Center has contributed to the success of tens of thousands of Roaring Fork School District students over the past 20 years. So, Jenny, tell us a little bit more about the Family Resource Center of the Roaring Fork Schools.
I'd be happy to. The Family Resource Center is a public-private partnership that's been a part of the Roaring Fork Schools for nearly 22 years now. And, Amy, as you know, the Roaring Fork Schools include Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, and Basalt Schools. The Family Resource Center works within the schools to remove non-academic barriers to student learning. Often students come to school with needs that interfere with learning, things like untreated illnesses, painful dental issues, and unmet mental health needs. Sometimes students' families are struggling to provide the basics like food, clothing, and school supplies, and sometimes even shelter. All of these things can conspire to prevent a child from showing up ready to learn. The Family Resource Center works through a family liaison in each school whose job it is to get to know families and to connect them to community resources that can help them take care of their families' needs.
United Way provides you a grant, also a small grant, but how
yes.
are you funded? Where does your money come from?
Well, the Roaring Fork Schools provide 15% of our cash budget from the general fund. The remaining funding we raise through state, local, and foundation grants and through the generous support of local businesses and individuals. So just to give you an example of what kind of costs we're looking at, last year in our highest areas of need, which are dental, mental health, medical, vision, and basic needs, for dental support for students, we spent $24,000.
Just for dental.
For mental health support, $16,000. For vision, about $5,000. Medical, about $5,000. And basic needs, $32,797.
And you know, we often talk in the nonprofit world about basic needs. Can you give some examples of that for our listeners?
Yes, I can. Basic needs include things like rental assistance, utility assistance, food, clothing, sometimes legal assistance we throw in there. You know, just day-to-day things that are the basics of survival.
What do you think is the most common need that you see?
That basic needs category, because people aren't able to work enough or they're not able to work, period. They don't have maybe a consistent job, something like that, and they're unable to pay the high cost of rentals
in the valley.
Exactly. And oftentimes, if they are paying so much for rent, they can't then afford food. And you know, their utilities start to back up, things like that.
Sure.
So basic needs is really the biggie.
Are you seeing a lot of families, like you may have two students from one family, but they're in a multi-family household?
Absolutely. Families often double up due to financial hardship. And when they do, and when we do have a student in that situation, we declare them homeless under the guidelines of the McKinney-Vento Act. And they're entitled to certain things like the right to transportation to and from their home school of origin. They have the right to free and reduced lunch, and they have the right to enroll in school no matter what sort of documentation they may have or not have. So even if they don't have their birth certificate or something like that, they can still enroll in school. Oftentimes families that are that mobile don't have the, you know, documentation with them. So yes, so students that are doubled up living in multifamily households are considered homeless. And we have many, many students in that situation.
I've probably heard you speak three times about the homeless situation of school children in our area and nationally. Can you, off the top of your head, sorry I'm putting you on the spot, talk a little bit more about homeless students?
Well, like I said, so a homeless student is anyone who lacks a fixed regular nighttime residence. And so that includes students that are doubled up. That includes students that are camping, that are living in a camper,
and
maybe without skirting, living in their car, living in a hotel. And then there are unaccompanied homeless youth that are older kiddos that are not living with their parents, and they may be couch surfing.
And are you talking more teenage on that level? But they still qualify for high school. But
right.
They haven't, their parents are not here. They have no place to go.
And so last year we documented 83 homeless students in our school district, and 24 of those were unaccompanied homeless youth. We probably have twice as many, you know.
So we
probably are close to 200 based on the state of Colorado statistics or
I know
projections.
I had Kyle Crawley in here from Stepping Stones last month talking about the drop-in center for youth, and it might have been a drop-in center. My mouth dropped open. So
they see like 30 students a day.
30
and provide them a place to do laundry, to do homework, just a warm, safe place to hang out.
Why are these children and teens unaccompanied? What are some examples of the problems you're seeing?
You know, a lot of times it's kind of a mutual decision on the part of the student and the family, and they're just not getting along, and so the student will move out.
And in the old days, they'd go to live with grandparents or aunts and uncles or someone who would take them in. And I guess those people aren't around these days.
Oftentimes they're not around. But also a student who's living with someone who is not their legal guardian is also considered homeless. So if they're just bunking with Aunt Joanne, who could kick them out at any time if she chose to, they are considered homeless.
Are these children and teens covered by health insurance and other kinds of insurance? Or,
you know, Amy, it just depends. It depends. If a student was not born in the United States, they are not eligible for Medicaid and CHP Plus, which are, you know, health plans that we have for students who are born in the country. And then even sometimes if they were born here and eligible for those programs, they may not have signed up for them. And so part of what the Family Resource Center Family Liaisons work to do is to make sure that everyone has access to the benefits for which they qualify. So we often run across families who qualify for Medicaid or CHP Plus, which is Child Health Plan Plus, that are not signed up for it.
And Jenny, how many counselors do you have? I've met several.
We have family liaisons, and they are in all of the schools in the Roaring Fork School District. So, you know, the best way to find us is to just go into your school and say, I need to talk to my family liaison. And they help families with a myriad of things, you know, connecting them to different resources in the community to meet their students' needs. They can help, you know, connect a student to enrichment activities, to, you know, all of the things I've mentioned previously, and doctor's appointments, durable medical goods. We can work to get things like that and kind of garner support from different foundations and local groups to make sure that we have the finances to provide those things for students.
I know you often work with Lift Up the Food Bank and Catholic Charities and Salvation Army and Family Visitor Programs.
That's right.
So you really tie your counselors, your family liaisons, tie a lot of services together. Is that their role?
That is exactly what their role is. Yes, tying things together, making sure that students are ready to learn.
Well, you know, we also talk a lot in our Garfield County Human Service Commission meetings about mental health and the struggles nationally, regionally, and locally. What about mental health counseling? What are you seeing? How can you help? And what are the difficulties there? That's a big question, so take it away.
A lot of people think, well, why aren't student counselors providing mental health services? School counselors do things like college counseling, you know, short-term intervention kind of things. They lead sometimes mental health groups. It's not really a situation where they do mental health counseling. You wouldn't send a student to the school nurse for surgery, and you wouldn't send a student to a school counselor
for
long-term
social workers.
Mental health counseling.
Yeah.
Right. And so what we work to do is to connect students to mental health support in the community that's more sustainable, and to find a way to financially make it sustainable too.
Are you seeing a greater need for mental health services, which we do in other segments, or has it kind of held steady?
I think we're seeing a greater need. And it could just be that more people are being identified as needing mental health support, but there definitely there's a huge need for all kinds of mental health services.
And I am assuming it's not only that students' perhaps biological mental health problems, but also what is happening socially in the family?
Oh, sure. And, you know, and what's happening in the family really influences a student at school and their ability to be able to learn. So sometimes we're looking at what's happening in the family system in order to support that student.
And do teachers refer?
Teachers do refer students to the family liaison. Counselors make referrals. Community agencies make referrals. Yes.
Well, how then can the community help? Because here you are in the school system, but you're also a nonprofit. So how can we in the community help?
You know, probably the best way for the community to help is to, if there's a student that you're concerned about, find out what school they go to and call the school and ask to speak to the family liaison and say, hey, I've got concerns about this kiddo. And they'll take it from there.
How do you get the message out to the community also on what needs you have? You're always fundraising as well. I mean, if I don't have a child in the school system, I probably wouldn't know. Or if I've never needed that help financially or emotionally?
Mm-hmm. You know, we're about to embark on our yearly direct mail campaign, and many people will be receiving that in the mail. And you can also find that on our Facebook page. We're under Family Resource Center of the Roaring Fork Schools.
Thank you for coming in today to talk to us about what's happening with the Family Resource Center.
My pleasure, Amy. Thank you for having me.
Thanks to our Get Connected listeners. Thanks also to guests Andrea Palm Porter and Jenny Lindsay, and to United Way board member Richard Golding and KDNK Public Affairs Director Amy Haddon Marsh. Tune in on the first Thursday of every month at 4:30 p.m. and find our Get Connected program anytime online at kdnk.org/public affairs.